go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go. We are off and running at a minute past the hour on this second day of March 2018. The question about in like a lamb or in like a lion has been answered, at least on the east and west coasts of North America. It's definitely a lion. And I ain't a lion. No, the power's been flickering on and off all day long. We've had howling gale force winds even here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump Jr. stand. And it has been downright crappy out toward the coast. I checked in with a good friend up in Massachusetts near the New Hampshire line, and he was showing me the river that was right up to the edge of his house at high tide this afternoon. Yeah, it's a little disturbing. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This here is The Horn, like I said, for the second day of March 2018. And thanks go out on this brand new month. Thanks go out to four folks this evening. This program partially brought to you by Elizabeth in New York and by Albert in North Carolina, as well as by Clarence in Philly, soon to be of South Carolina stand, and Paul in Arizona. Thanks one and all. Gosh, we love having subscribers. This would be a great time to become a subscriber if you never have before. Your choice. You can do it through PayPal or you can do it through Patreon if you hate PayPal. Either one, PayPal. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. There's a PayPal interface at headon.live. We're streaming live via both sites right now, as well as all the other platforms. There's also a link to Patreon, the Patreon campaign, at headon.live, and of course you can always just go there, Patreon, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid. So thanks to our subscribers, thanks very kindly. This is that knocks down about you know, a week's worth of any given month of programming, so that we can have fundraising free programming at the end of the month, and that is that's certainly a joy to me. So this evening is, like most any other, we'll try to raise $200. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, etc. Because we all know now that I can cipher if I absolutely have to. You can use the PayPal interface either at headon.live or headonradionetwork.com. The U.S. Postal Service works as well. It just takes a lot longer for us to be able to access the money and pay bills with it. But that address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. And if you do it that way and you send me a little note, I'll let Boss Man Wayne know to be on the lookout. And we'll, all he'll have to take with him is a nice piece of rebar in case he runs into a Klansman. Okay? So if we, and this is a program note, this is a shorter program this evening. It's Friday on the Front Porch, but it's a truncated variety version because the Malloys are off and away this weekend. And so consequently, I'll be shutting down at 8 p.m. Eastern time here to turn everything around and get everything fired up to do the Malloy program from 9 to 11 Eastern time this evening. That would be 6 to 8 Pacific. Y'all probably already know that. But that's, we'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable about a half hour ahead of schedule, maybe even sooner than that, depending on how many folks are there for Sparky to round up. Of course, the usual advisory obtains. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, but you would like to, we do it via Skype. I don't trust the old gizmo box. I want to bring back the stress line, but I'm gonna have to spend some time playing with the audio and the engineering of it and everything, because for some reason or another, it never quite worked like I had hoped it would. But we use Skype for this, and you can't contact me on Skype to be on Friday on the Front Porch and part of the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. You have to fire up Skype, and you have to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, one word, and then he'll show you the breadcrumb trail, okay? Because with the lengthening days, well, the Bob signal might not work in a lot of the country. Yeah, Bob signal, because we've got one of those. But that's, and of course, if you're already in Sparky's contact list, no problem. Just let him know that you want to be in the conversation this evening. So it's easy to do, and it's a whale of a good time. We have without fail rousing conversations, and that makes things it makes for an interesting end to the week. So that's we'll get started close to the bottom of the hour, a little bit before, and try to make the best out of the shortened amount of time we have this evening. Of course, that means we've only got an hour and 53 minutes in which to raise the aforementioned $200 so that we can stay even for the second day of fundraising for the month of March. And like I've said before, it makes for a lot easier and a lot more pleasant program if we just knock it out and get all the thank yous said, and then have the rest of the program to enjoy ourselves in rip-roaring good conversation. Let's see. It shouldn't. By the way, if any of y'all anybody else noticed that the podcast has a funny date to it, the March 1 podcast says 03-6-1-2018. That's because I screwed up, but wait a minute. Let me just check that here. Nope, I corrected it, Ralphs. You might want to refresh your browser or something, because it should all be squared away now. So, I don't know. Internet magic, right? Some days the magic works, some days the magic doesn't. Anyway, it's about 9 minutes past the hour, and I've got a pretty deep stack for this evening. I'm saving some for the Malloy program, because I don't like to just repeat the program to do what we did 2 hours before and do it again 2 hours later. I like to have fresh material, because I'm always thrilled and deeply honored to be able to fill in for Mike. Now, program reminder, for the Malloy program, if you're going to be listening there too and get, a big 4-hour dose of, me, remember, please, we'll have the stream up and running here, but please, unless there is some reason you can't, and there really shouldn't be, unless there's some reason you can't, listen to the Progressive Voices channel. Listen via the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn, because it's good for their numbers, and I like to help. And gosh, there are some nights that we trend all the way toward the very top of the TuneIn trending list, which is really, really cool. So there's that. By the way, if you'd like to, the chat room will be open not just during Friday on the Front Porch. It'll be open during the Malloy program as well. Pop on by, hang out. I'm in there. And it's real easy. You can get there either from headon.live or headonradionetwork.com. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a password if you've never tried it before, and hop on in. There you will be met by the likes of Anatole and, gosh, Orpheus. Hi, Orpheus. And Ralps and Squeaky and Steve from Georgistan and VT Blom, and of course, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space this evening to become Man Cave. Okay, so that's like all the housekeeping. And now a question. Or an observation. Yeah, you're free to disagree. You always are. We just don't allow right-wingers on the program. But I had one of those... This was an interesting day. Donald Trump... Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about him some more. How do you not? Donald Trump was apparently up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, there are multiple angles to this. Kurt Eichenwald, a reporter for Newsweek, apparently parted company with Newsweek in the last couple of days. And upon doing so, posted over at Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D, a story that had been spiked by upper management at Newsweek. Apparently it checked out with legal and everything, but the bottom line is that Geezer Disgustus may have, at some point in the past, if he is not still, been somewhat of a, oh, what's the right term, tweaker, or a speed freak. The spiked report that was published over at Scribd indicated that for something on the order of 10 years, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini used via a prescription in somebody else's name. Remember when Flush Flimball flew down for his little all-boys weekend, and we do mean boys, in the Dominican Republic, and took a Viagra prescription with him under somebody else's name? Remember that? Well, apparently that's a thing that celebrities do. They don't get their meds in their own names, so that the National Enquirer, the tabloids, oh, look, Bob Kincaid takes 10 milligrams of lisinopril, son of a bitch. Okay, that's a bad phrase. I gotta get the B word out of my vocabulary. I just do. It's just a throwaway. But here's the thing. Apparently, that the speed that he was on, the amphetamine that he was on, was prescribed for an unelaborated upon metabolic disorder. Okay, now I'll sit here and talk about. I mean, I've talked about the things that threaten my health and well-being and threaten the existence of this program, and him from time to time knocked me out of the chair for a couple of weeks. It's kind of a throwaway diagnosis. Metabolic syndrome. In my case, it means that I've got monumental cholesterol, monumental triglycerides, a screwed-up gallbladder, probably a up common bile duct, and a pancreas that's a mess, and the spleen ain't much better either. I know, good times, right? But, I mean, I don't mind talking about that. And so I take a variety of medications for it. I take a Tricor because that's about the only thing out there that really works on triglycerides. I try to get exercise. I try to watch my diet, but every now and then, you know, I do wind up, you know, like that picture of Johnny Cash all up in, sitting in a bush eating cake. I have a hopeless mini Reese's cup problem. I've been known to wipe out entire hunks of cheese in a sitting. It's got something that it's part of its habit, and part of it's probably my Scandinavian Nordic genetics via Scotland, Ireland, and England that just craves fats for putting on padding for the long winter months near the Arctic Circle that I'm not anywhere near but still am genetically programmed to want. But that's my metabolic syndrome. And you do the best you can with the drugs available to you. I'm happily not diabetic. Yay. Not taking any diabetes, you know, meds or anything. Again, try to get out, walk, do stuff. Man, I can't wait for warmer weather. And by the way, after that little warm snap in mid to late February, I kid you not, I'm not going to do it, but I kid you not, I have mowable grass. No, really, it's sloppy and everywhere you step it squishes, but I have mowable grass. Which, of course, has me a little bit worked up, because if you've got mowable grass, that means you've got whackable weeds. I do love the smell of two-cycle oil in the afternoon. It smells like victory. What am I talking about my yard work? Well, the point of it all is to say that Trump was diagnosed with an unspecified metabolic disorder. I have a feeling that metabolic disorder was, I'm afraid I might be getting fat. You know, I'm getting a little bit older here. Doc, do you have any diet pills for me? And so the doc gave him a form of amphetamine, a form of speed. Remember, PED skills. That apparently is supposed to only be used for no more than 25 days at a time. And, well, the carotene Caligula used it for at least 10 years. It's not good for you to do that. Well, thank you very kindly, Steve, in New York. 999. No, he's not channeling Herb Cain. He says, your love of cheese is evidence of one thing, good taste. I know. Oh, God. And you know, there's a brand of cheese out there. Unpaid product placement from the folks at Kerrygold in Ireland. And it's simply called Dubliner. Have I mentioned this? Oh, my God, it's wonderful. It's like an aged cheese. It's somewhere between like an aged Havarti and a nice, Parmigiano Reggiano or Romano. It's hard, a little bit oily, slices real. You wouldn't want to make a grilled cheese out of it or anything, but, ooh, just to nibble on with a little bag of grapes or something like that. Ooh, it's heavenly. It's yummy. There I am talking about me again. That's enough about you. Let's talk about me. Yeah, Steve says down in Georgistan, they never plant before tax day. Well, we never plant before Mother's Day, a little further north, but I get the idea. So anyway, he took for 10 years a form of speed that you're only supposed to take for no more than 25 days. That's if you go back and look at old photographs, that's maybe back around the time that he's posing with the stuffed toys in the little short mini kimono bathrobe with his legs sticking out on the satin bedspreaded bed. I think that's roughly that era. Okay, and we do have another Kerrygold fan out there. Steve says that their cheeses and butter are proof that some things need to just be left to the Irish. Well, that's true. That's true, and I won't argue with them about their whiskey either. Not that I can really deal with that anymore, but still, it's good to know the art. The vita brevis, ars longa est, right? Or ars longa est, vita brevis. What's this, Brother Deacon Asa? You're not fooling anyone, Bob. We know you drink liquid Velveeta. Cheese whiz through a straw, damn it. Stop it. So he was like 10 years on this speed, and apparently if you look the stuff up, it'll rot your mind. Because, again, Keed spills. Mm-hmm. the things you guys pick up on. Yeah, we have an official Kerry Gold Dubliner fan club. There's Barbecue Todd. Yes, Dubliner, texture. Asking previously, damn, Bob, how are you even living? Don't ask. Trying here, okay? Remember me, no health insurance. Remember, don't tax the Horn community so you can have health care. Remember all that? Yeah. Anyway, what's this? Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana. Bob, I don't have a Reese's Cup problem or an M&M problem. I can eat them by the bag full. No problem. Yeah, that's kind of where I am. Anyway, just because I got to do this before we can go to Friday on the Front Porch, just to sort of prime the pump for the conversation. So Nectarine Nero was on this speed that rots your brain, and what speed doesn't, for like 10 years when he wasn't supposed to be on it for more than 25 days. And Flavio, I adore Dubliner. Will you guys let me talk? speed freak. Then I guess he knocks off in the 90s, or sometime in the 90s, maybe by 2000, I don't know. But it apparently warps your mind some. Hey, layoff, Asa, can you tell them about your dozen hot dog problem? I think I described that when I got back from down south, damn it. Speaking of which, I think I've invented a new hot dog. I picked some up today. I got some really, really good Kroger private selection, all beef, no preservatives, no nitrites. It's probably got a lot of beef hoof and beef lips in it and stuff, and the vegans are cringing right now. But I'm going to do that, and then I got some private selection lemon dill aioli that I tried to convince Tracy to try a while back. And I picked up a jar of artisanal sauerkraut seasoned with dill and garlic. And then I thought, what would be a nice counterpoint to that? Yes, nice, fresh avocado. So that's what the hot dog's going to be. Lemon dill aioli, sauerkraut flavored with dill and garlic, avocado, and a really, really, really good Frank. That's probably the between-program snack this evening after the program's over. Damn it, this is a story. So, anyway, I guess if you're a speed freak long enough, you sort of wreck your ability to have a normal sleep cycle. You remember when Dr. Ronnie Jackson said, well, you know, some people only need 4 hours of sleep. Maybe edit that to some speed freaks, some recovering speed freaks only need 4 hours of sleep per night. Because the whole point of this is that Dimwit Donnie was apparently up about 4 o'clock this morning. Naturally, the TV was tuned to Fox. I don't watch it, but has Fox put their A-team in at 4 a.m. now because they know that's when the audience that really matters is watching. So they had this story at like 4:24 a.m. about an interview that Alec Baldwin gave saying he's really sick of playing Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live. Okay. Well, all right. Well, this then infuriated Trump. Sometimes I feel like I'm in some sort of a time warp because when I first saw the headline earlier today, Trump tweets and then deletes bizarre attack on Alec Baldwin, and I thought, wait a minute, is this an old story? And I immediately scrolled down to the dateline. No, 2 March 2018. I thought we'd already been through the Donald Trump has a hissy over Alec Baldwin phase. But no, apparently it's looped back around, and it's Groundhog Day. Well, it's the second day of March, and day late, month late, and a dollar short. And so he's having a hissy, over Alec Baldwin saying that he's sick of playing Trump. This apparently pissed him off. Because, what, I guess nobody's supposed to ever get sick of playing Donald Trump? So out comes the phone. This is some classic twooping, you know, tweeting and pooping at the same time. 5:42 a.m., Alex Baldwin, A-L-E-X, no, Alex Baldwin, who's dying, D-I-E-I-N-G, Mother McCree. Dying mediocre career was saved by his impersonation of me on SNL. Now says playing DJT was agony for him. Alex, it was also agony for those who were forced to watch. You were terrible. Bring back Daryl Hammond, much funnier and a far greater talent. Of course, Saturday Night Live's ratings went through the roof and were largely bolstered by Alec Baldwin's impression of Donald Trump. It was hilarious, still is, but it's apparently pissing Donnie off that Alec doesn't like play. Who wouldn't want to play me? I mean, I love playing me, and anybody who could play me, it's an honor. So that tweet goes out at 5:42 a.m. and then deletes it, which incidentally may be a misdemeanor within the meaning of high crimes and misdemeanors, as mentioned in the Constitution as grounds for an impeachment, destroying presidential records, because that's a presidential record, that's an official statement of the White House. But he deletes it, but not before it gets captured. But he had a busy day ahead of him, because he had to fly down to... And this really brings us to the gravamen of the observation. He had to fly down to North Carolina today for the Graham Cracker family reunion, the funeral of Billy Graham Cracker, at which there was much hosanna. Even before Pat Robertson. Billy Graham was as close as a Baptist will ever have to a Pope. And so today, somewhere near Charlotte, North Carolina, they sent Billy for the big, long dirt nap, from which he will never get up, incidentally. And lo and behold, who was there? Donald J. Trump. I don't know how much it costs to fly the President of the United States aboard Air Force One, 747, from Andrews Air Force Base to Charlotte. I don't know. I don't know how much is involved with the transportation of all the bulletproof vehicles and the cavalcade or the motorcade and the merry men. No idea. But it cost you and me something to do this. But between those two things, being offended that somebody doesn't like playing him anymore, and showing up for Billy, a man who is less a Christian than I am, and I'm not one. I mean, I'm closer to being a Theravada Buddhist than I am to being... than Donald Trump is to being a Christian. That is to say, light years away. I mean, I'm more likely to be, I'm nearer to being, a Hasidic Jew or a whirling dervish than Donald Trump is to being a Christian. It's just all there is to it. But he got up and he flew to North Carolina for the dirt napping of Billy Graham Cracker, who hustled more people in his life than most can ever even dream of. And that's what I mean. That this is one of those, if you had any doubts, or this is one of those moments when you know all you need to know about Donald Trump. At taxpayer expense, after throwing a hissy at a guy on TV, at taxpayer expense, he flew to the funeral of a famous charlatan whom he didn't know and didn't care about, but whose weirdo followers helped propel him into office. But at the same time, a couple of weeks ago, when one of the victims of the Parkland massacre was being laid to rest, scant miles, just a few miles, not hundreds of miles, just a few miles, Donald Trump, instead of taking a moment and going and paying his respect to that young man, played golf on our dime. Again, on our dime. So you've got two people Donald Trump didn't even know. The almost made it to centenarian Billy Graham cracker, and a young man murdered in the prime of life at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Whose funeral was worth attending? And we have the answer. The millionaire gospel sharp. The millionaire hustler whose weird followers might have the necessary votes to create Trump administration part two, the adventure continues. A boy who was cut down by a kid who publicized himself wearing a MAGA hat. That kid's funeral was not worth attending. Billy Graham's was. And really, for me, that's all I could ever need to know about this man. Oh, sure, I mean, there's other things to know. The grift, the graft, the sexual abuse, the sexual assaults. But this is one of those moments that tells you about the essential core of the thing whose hollowed out brain is being operated by spirochetes. This is all you need to know. That in his world, in his system of priorities, he's always going to follow the money. He's always going to follow the influence. He's always going to follow paths to perceived power and influence. And a place where, oh, presidential being presidential could have served some value. No, not so much. So that was just my thinking on it. Some notes coming in. Note from Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve on the Gulf Coast. Between a rock and a hard case. So the cranky crank president was a crankhead. He'd have snorted it off a hunting knife, but would have slashed his anus. Oh, wait a minute. You know, Steve's usually pretty serious in his notes, but no. So the cranky crank president was a crankhead? He'd have snorted it off a hunting knife, but would have slashed his anus. Oh, that's good. That's very good. That's very good indeed, Steve. Yes, indeed. Scott and Punky. I'm not sure how much it is, Air Force One, D.C. to North Carolina. I'm not sure how much it is in actual dollars, but the round trip worked out to $331,000 Ben Carson fancy-ass HUD coffee dinette sets. As for Billy's dirt nap, some refer to it as a funeral. I like to think of it as his permanent inclusion in the worm buffet menu board. I wouldn't be surprised if they mummified him. And the fact that he was buried in a casket made by prison slave labor in Louisiana, wow. Just, well, he was a Southern Baptist now, wasn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's a starting place. I'm not going to stop for any bumper music or anything like that. I will note that we are $25 on the way to tonight's $200 fundraising goal. Be awesome if we knock that down before 7 p.m. Eastern time. And big thanks indeed go out to Charlene for getting us started. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very, very much for being first in line for this evening. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you a bunch. I hope other folks will jump in alongside you. Lickety split. Okay, like I said, we've already connected to Sparky. I'm not going to fool with any bumper music. Hey, Sparky, how you doing?
Can you hear the blower?
In the background, yeah, but it doesn't seem to be too terrible.
Okay. That's how I'm doing, trying to stay warm out here.
How free?
I didn't catch your show yesterday. It was busy.
Oh, yeah? Just, you know, working around the house or...
No. Moving in my stepson and his wife.
Okay. Everything go and all that went okay? You didn't throw your back out or anything?
No, they had hired a couple guys from movingmen.com or something like that.
Okay, well, is everybody all settled in now?
Yeah, but everybody's just sleeping.
Worn out. So you're out in the man cave freezing.
Well, not freezing with the heater going. But it's not that cold. It's just been windy, and it's in the 40s.
You know what you need? You need a Patagonia puffy coat, Sparky. Can't get cold.
I need to go get my gang jacket out of the house that I haven't worn in a long time.
Oh, your gang jacket?
Yeah, the one with the big IBW patch on the back of it.
Oh, yes. Your gang jacket. Yeah. Like the one Rick Smith has for the Teamsters that made the young woman ask him, are you a jockey? Do you work with horses? You know, because there are horses on the Teamsters logo. I'll never forget that. That was a hilarious little moment.
Well, each individual local has their own logo. Ours has a picture of the state capitol and Mount Shasta on it.
Oh, pretty. Oh, very nice. Very nice indeed. So you'll be okay. No, it doesn't. I can hear the thing blowing in the background, but it's not too terrible.
And then I got a dog jumping on me.
Oh.
Get him.
Yeah, Grady the shop dog.
Yeah.
Well, that's his job.
Yeah, he's still my shadow. Just got through running the ball for a little bit. Wore him out somewhat. But other than that, I caught a rat overnight.
Oh, did you electrocute it?
Yeah, surprised the hell out of me. I got a little mouse the other day, so I put the trap back where the mouse would be. Then I was walking over there this morning, and I looked and seen the light blinking. I pulled it up. Here's a big old rat in it.
Whoa.
So I'm up to about 17 kills this winter.
Yeah, are you cutting little notches on the trap, or is that not a good idea?
I don't need to do that.
Maybe you could paint little, like on the side of an aircraft, you could paint little rats on the wall of the man cave there.
But I put him in a bucket, though. I'm going to show him to my daughter-in-law. She's got a cat off the trailer she's staying in. Say, here's some cat food for you.
Ew.
Just to mess with her.
Wow. So let's see. Let's check in.
Hey. Just busy right now.
Hey, Steve from Georgia Stan, you there, buddy?
Bob, what's going on, man?
It's a great day to be a West Virginian.
I guess it's a great day to be Steve from Georgia Stan if I don't fly off to see the wizard. It's been rough here today, man.
No mean ladies on bicycles in the sky, I trust.
I mean, wind has been howling, but surprisingly enough, the grid has held. Went out for about 10 minutes around, I guess, 6 o'clock this morning, but other than that, it's held. But if I suddenly disappear, that's what's going on. But it seems to be dying down now.
And well, thank heaven for small favors, right?
Yeah, all my friends on the East Coast, none of them have electricity. They got plowed, man.
Oh, it was when I saw the video from up north of Boston today, out by the coast. Wow, that was some good. But the funny thing, there was no snow. It was just all rain, and it was the tide was rising fast.
Well, it's all wind here. The sun was shining, but the trees were bending in half. It was a very strange phenomenon.
Well, apparently, among other things, it has not been a good day for the Trump Plaza Tower. It's been getting peeled like a grape by the nor'easter. The Trump Plaza Casino, I guess in Atlantic City. It's supposed to be demolished later in the spring. But panels were getting blown off of it, and just, yeah. It was coming apart, sort of a metaphor for the White House right now.
So it's been there sitting empty for quite a while.
Yeah, it has been.
Well, you know how they say all politics is local, but you wouldn't believe. Well, you probably would. You're probably aware of what's going on here in Georgia Stan. You know, sometimes I look north and I look to the left and look at Alabama Stan and like, man, it's messed up over there. It's equally as messed up here.
Well, you know, I haven't talked about the Delta thing at all, really. I've been aware of it, but somehow or another it hasn't entered into conversation.
Well, you got two guys vying for the governorship. Nathan Deal's term limited out, and they're trying to out-dickhead each other. That's what this all stems from. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, of course, he thinks he's a shoo-in, and he took a calculated risk thinking that, well, if I come out against the NRA because they are sponsoring conventions, and the kicker is there's only been 13 people that bought in on this discount plan, so that cost Delta $33 million and gasoline tax revenues, which is going to lead me to a legal question, but I'll get to that later. I want to pick yours and Billable Rick's brain. And then we had another guy who's vying to be governor, too. He's State Secretary Brian Kemp, and he suggested that we take that $38 million and instead of giving it to Delta, we use it for a sales tax holiday for Georgians to buy guns and ammunition tax-free. Yee-haw!
Hoo-wee, Uncle Jed! So just to make sure that everybody is on the same page here in the choir, the lieutenant governor of Georgia vowed to kill $33 million in tax breaks for the sales tax that Delta would pay on the fuel that it buys to fuel its airplanes, which fly out of its primary hub, Atlanta, Georgia, and in turn provide. Well, Delta is the largest single employer, and that says something in a state full of Walmarts. Delta is the largest single employer in the state of Georgia.
33 million jobs, Bob, and they're all good paying jobs.
No, 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 that's $33 million dollars. There aren't 33 million jobs.
Oh, okay. Well, let me. 33,000. I'm sorry. I got the 33 transposed. 33,000 workers statewide.
And so this clown, back up. So Delta said, no, we're not going to give breaks to the NRA anymore. This guy threw a fit. But to be clear, he was throwing a fit about the free market. He wants NRA members to be treated like little special snowflakes who are, I don't know, just chock-a-block with economic anxiety and have to have reduced prices on airline tickets, right? So so when the free market operates, and these are all, we don't like it when the government picks winners and losers. Just got to let the free market do what the free market does best. So the free market does what the free market does, and the little snowflakes don't like it. The maggots, the, you know, gun humpers and collective cleti of the world. No, they don't like it. But here's the thing. Airplanes can go places, right?
That's correct. And there's already been other people courting them. New York, other cities want them to relocate.
Yeah, that's the very purpose of airplanes, is to go places. And now that's Delta's impact. What would happen to Hartsfield International Airport if it wasn't a Delta hub anymore?
It would probably go in the red very quickly.
Because I'm guessing that JetBlue and Southwest and a couple of others, they really can't carry the day, can they? I mean, Hartsfield, and I've flown in and out of there a bunch, Hartsfield is about Delta. It's kind of Delta's airport.
And they're laying low. They came out today and made a statement saying that they're going to review all their policies and anything political that's at their cutting them off. They don't want anything to do with them. But I look for them to act. They're not going to take this line down. I mean, even though a big company like Delta, this isn't a box of popcorn.
No, you know who would probably love to have Delta make their airport their hub? And it's not doing much right now either, because there was this is years and years back, Steve, but there was a giant screwing that went on way back in the 90s. U.S. Scare said to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if you build us a big old highfalutin airport that's absolutely state-of-the-art and dual mud flaps and chromed headers and everything, well, we're going to make you our central hub. So Pittsburgh said, cool. And people, you know, people went, it dug deep into their pockets and they built, you ever been to the Pittsburgh airport?
No. I may have, doing a layover.
It's freaking beautiful. And it's huge. And it's empty. Because, of course, U.S. Scare turned around and screwed Pittsburgh.
Which was once Piedmont. Yeah, I think I was there once when I was flying from Baltimore to Bristol, Tennessee. Somehow I got routed into Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's a long time ago, though.
It's a great airport. Yep. And it's not doing anything in particular right now. And Delta could pack up bag and baggage. In Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh's an awesome city.
Well, there's another dichotomy that comes into play here, Bob. We are vying to try to get Amazon. They were, you know, we're in the running. Not now. Amazon's going to see how we treat business. You think they're even going to consider coming here after this debacle? And, you know, I'm sure that Cagle thought, well, look, even if they move, I'm only going to piss off 33,000 state workers. But I'll probably still attract enough rubes that'll propel me to the governorship. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say,
I stood up for gun owners on planes. That's what I done did. Yeah.
And I'm going to predict that he will be our next governor. That's how stupid, and I hate to say it, but that's how how this state has degraded since I've been here. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he will probably be the next governor.
Well, it depends on who the Democrats put up against him. And I'm sure it'll be somebody who is decidedly, you know, ideologically impure and everything. So,
you're probably right.
But I've got another question.
Go ahead.
So, you know, the world headquarters of the Coca-Cola Corporation is in Atlanta, too.
It is.
And they employ a lot of people.
And they're good jobs, too.
Yes, they are. So I don't know. Is this asshat Cagle? Is he going to insist that little NRA snowflakes get a 10-cent break on a bottle of pop? Wait a minute. We went on a bottle of Coke.
Coke.
I mean, how much welfare does the NRA want?
And CNN's major, pretty sure it is.
No, you dropped out there. CNN's what?
And their headquarters here.
Yeah,
they got
it's not what it once was because of you know AOL, Time Warner, and all that silly shit.
Right.
The biggest mistake Ted Turner ever made. Yes.
Which leads me to my legal question. I'm sure that Delta has this in writing somewhere that they are guaranteed these gasoline benefits. And Bob or you or Rick can jump in here and answer this. Do they have any kind of legal repercussions that they can take against either Cagle or the state?
Well, this was a newly created sales tax break. It hadn't passed yet.
And as far as I know, and I just posted this, it passed in the House. The Senate rejected it, so it's kind of still in limbo.
Yeah,
but Nathan Deal said he would sign it.
But isn't Cagle the president of the Senate? I thought it went through the Senate. Okay.
He's a lieutenant governor, according to the article that I just posted today. It did not make the House. Let me see if this is dated correctly or. USA Today, March 2nd, that would be today. Let's see, yeah. But, you know, dead air, I'm killing us, I know, but I'm pretty sure that this article I posted saying that it made it through the House, but not the Senate. So I don't know how that works.
Well, but the bottom line is, you'd like to see Delta. Yeah, they're the ones with all the bargaining power here.
Right.
And it's kind of, it's the exact opposite of what you'd like to see in what I'd like to see in West Virginia. You know, the gas is in the ground here. If the frackers want to frack the gas, then they can do so and pay a significant tax for the privilege of doing so. Because the gas isn't going anywhere. Just like the coal's in the ground. You got to be here to mine it. And you can say, well, fellas, you don't want to pay? You know, goodbye. And let them leave. Delta's the exact opposite. Delta is, by definition, mobile in nature. They have the power to look, and I think back on the times that the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan, has talked to us about this kind of stuff. But Delta can look and say, you know, we don't have to be here. I mean, we're baked into the fabric of Atlanta, but we don't have to be here. There's other places that would love to have us. And Pittsburgh came to mind. Cincinnati comes to mind. I don't know if that little airport across the river in Kentucky is big enough to handle what Atlanta does, but Pittsburgh almost damn sure is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I found it, Bob. Here it says it's about three-quarters of the way down. On Thursday, the state Senate passed a tax measure 44-10 after removing the jet fuel provision. So that tells me that they took it out, the state did. So I don't know where it's at now. It's just, I guess it's one of them stay tuned.
Well, but hold on. That's still not clear, Steve. What does after removing the jet fuel provision mean? Does that mean that they took out the tax break, or does that mean they took out the punishment?
Good question. I'll have to dig dig deeper.
Have you posted that in the chat room? I'll have a look at it.
I did. And I posted it on Skype, too.
Okay, I got a better chance. Okay, I see it. I got a better chance of seeing it. Okay, USA Today. Okay. Talk amongst yourselves.
It's right after Arab Jack.
The Georgia legislature removed a jet fuel tax break from a larger tax package Thursday. They took the tax break out.
After removing. Okay, see, it's kind of doublespeak.
Lawmakers were upset that Delta, yada, yada, yada. Delta will review all its marketing programs to avoid those that might, yada, yada. Okay, so I guess we're never going to be sponsored by Delta. Let's see.
It's about three quarters of the way down.
Yeah, I'm still reading here.
Thursday.
Listening to me read silently makes for some compelling radio.
Great radio we got going on here. I guess I could tell some jokes. Two Corinthians walked into a... Well, no, I'm joking.
Munchkin walks into a bar, yells, "Ow!" Passed the tax measure 44-10 after removing the jet fuel provision. The House, which had passed an earlier version with the jet fuel provision, followed with it. So they have both passed the bill with the punishment in it.
Okay. Is that the way you read it?
That's how I read it.
Okay. Do you see how that's confusing, though, or am I just not the sharpest tool in the shed?
No, you've got to follow from up at the very top. That's what it looks like to me, at least.
Oh,
but
okay.
But again, I'm not studying. I'm reading on the fly.
Oh yeah, me too. And the kicker is, it's only affected 13 people utilize this benefits, and he wants to make hay out of this.
Well,
he's making a calculated risk. So
well,
he
but
can
the people,
his governorship.
But the people who made the hay out of it were, of course, the National Rifle Association. Because they jumped up on the cross and started nailing it. What? We only got 13 members. Well, shit. Holler, we're being discriminated against anyway, for loving America.
Which kind of brings us back to Trump. Yesterday he was all like, "Don't worry about the NRA. I'm not afraid of them." And today he wrote, "Great meeting." You know, he's tweeting out all what a great meeting they had. So he just talks out of both sides of his face. You don't know where this guy's coming from ever.
No, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. Today's all we have, and yesterday doesn't matter. Neither does tomorrow. The truth ain't, you know, you're about half a hillbilly. The truth ain't in him. You know that saying.
Yeah. Just when you think there's hope, there is none. So as long as this guy's in office, there is no hope, and Mueller just can't move fast enough, but I know that's not his objective. His objective is not to get him out there to better the country. He's not thinking that way. He can't as a prosecutor.
No, his only question is were crimes committed.
Right,
But I want to disagree with you a little bit. As special prosecutors go in this kind of an investigation, Mueller is flying. Okay?
Yeah.
He's zooming.
He seems like a stand-up guy from everything that
I mean, I'm not talking about whether he's a stand-up guy or not. He is moving quickly.
So do you think maybe in the back of his mind he's thinking, "I got to move. We got to get this guy out of here because he's
no." He's thinking, "I got to do what I can do before he loses his mind and fires me."
That would be a constitutional crisis, which we could already be in one, and political suicide on his end, though, wouldn't you think?
There's no such thing as political suicide for Donald Trump.
Not as long as he has this House and Senate. That's why we got to unite in November and vote these clowns out.
Well, look, I mean, Mitch McConnell said, "Well, we're not going to be taking up anything to do with guns. I don't think we're going to have time for that. You know, we're just going to mop up the blood a little bit and see if we can't work on something." Maybe we'll take some people's health care away or shit on some little children or something. You know, us Republicans, we're real good at that. We ain't got no time to take up no guns.
And I thought these kids, and I hate to call them kids because that sounds condescending, and they have a lot more, they're a lot more articulate than the adults, and I feel like we failed them. But I really thought that they were going to help turn this thing around, that they had these people cornered, and that some kind of legislation was going to come out of this, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen now.
No. Did you think it was?
Well, I had a glimmer of hope. I'm the eternal optimist, Bob. I really thought, you know, that they had these guys backed into a corner, especially when Marco looked like a deer caught in the headlights at that CNN town meeting. And I really thought that they would move forward with something, you know?
No. Look, they know. If you're, for all intents and purposes, we're talking about a casino, and the Republicans are the House. Now, what's the rule about casinos, Steve?
House always wins. House always wins.
The Senate might move one way or the other. Maybe, but the Republicans know that the Republicans know that they're the Globetrotters, and they know they're playing the Washington Generals again. Look at what a gang of screw ups they were over the whole Franken. The Democrats were over the whole Franken thing. These people could screw up a one car parade.
A wet dream, yeah.
And so the Republicans know, you know, it's a long way to November. All kinds of shit's going to hit the fan between now and November.
Right. And even when their own was shot on the baseball diamond, it didn't change a thing. I don't know. It's like it leads back to the question I led with a couple of weeks ago. What's it going to take?
Well, we may find out if he gets his way and starts his little trade war. Do the two words Smoot and Hawley mean anything to you, Steve?
Please elaborate.
The Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act?
Are you trying to connect some dots with the steel tariffs that he proposed today?
And the aluminum.
At first they were going to do it, then they weren't going to do it, then they're going to do it, now they're going to wait till next week. Everything's a reality show with this guy, man.
Tune in next week. No, the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act was a piece of protectionist legislation that was passed by the Republicans in 1930 after the stock market had already crashed. It became law in the middle of 1930. There were tariffs raised on just about everything that we imported. I mean, like thousands and thousands. And the Depression was bad, but many historians look back at Smoot-Hawley and say, yeah, this is what really, really, you know, put the pillow over the economy's face.
That's when the wheels come off the wagon.
And that's when things got very, very real and once again, you know, there's the urban legend about the traders on the ledges that really didn't happen much, if at all. But the vast majority of working America got screwed.
Oh, it's always the middleman that gets screwed.
And so, for instance, if you're if this shit goes through, big beautiful tariffs, believe me. If this shit goes through, everybody in this country who uses steel every corporation, every company, automakers, airplane manufacturers, everybody's going to feel it. But the thing is, there's no rule out there, Steve, that says that other countries have to retaliate with the same product. They could place tariffs on corn.
Commodities.
Or
TVs.
Or get the, how about this? Pat Roberts, senator from Kansas, about had a baby. because he's expecting tariffs on sorghums. Kansas is the single largest producer of sorghum in the United States. And Kansas, of course, is already, they're not teetering on the brink of disaster. They're camped out in disaster, thanks to Sam Brownback and the Republicans. And this would just about put paid to Kansas, a sorghum tariff by other countries. Not a lot of people out there putting sorghums on their hot buttered biscuits anymore. I don't know why, because they're yummy. There are many uses for sorghum in the wider world. And, you know, boop, there you go. Or, you know, the price of automobile. It's nasty. Well, and you ask what's going to wake the American people up? Oh, a full-on economic collapse might.
God almighty, does it have to come to that, though?
Well, look, here's how it plays, okay? So, let's say it all goes to hell. And let's say that, you know, we go not just recession, but full-on depression. Well, guess what? Fox News is still going to be there. And they're still going to be there broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that it's the Kenyan Muslim usurper's fault.
Oh, yeah, blaming Obama. And I was just going to say that. You read my mind.
And you know, if he's not, if that's not working, they'll blame Nancy Pelosi. Or maybe Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer. And 35 to 50% of the United States will go, yeah. There we was, just making America great again. Then them goddamn Democrats made him put a tariff on. And sons of bitches, un-American bastards, snowflakes. Ding! Remember, the Depression had to cruise along under Herbert Hoover until March of 1933. And there wasn't a damn thing anybody could do about it.
Well, get in the soup line.
You know, there's a sign out there of men walking past the sign that says, out of work, keep moving. We can't feed our own.
So that's what it's going to take.
Well, it's an old...
It's a pretty bleak picture, Bob.
It's an old truism, Steve, that when the... When the belly rumbles, the mind will learn. Look, if the Great Depression hadn't come along, I mean, it had to come along. The Republican policies of the previous 8 years kind of made sure that it came along. But if the Great Depression hadn't come along, do you think FDR would have been elected president? It's not like Herbert Hoover in 1932 said, well, fuck it, I screwed up, I'm not even going to run. He was running for re-election, okay? He thought he had the answer, and the Republican, oh, no, we'll you know, this is just the natural market forces.
And his granddaughter's on Fox News, but that's neither here nor there. It's just irony at its finest.
So,
I know the stock market caught wind of it, and they didn't like it. And I know everybody thinks the stock market's evil, blah, blah, blah. But the stock market affects the common man, because most people have at least a 401k plan. And, you know, it's going to hurt a lot of people. And even if you own common stocks, the one owning the common stocks, that's the guy that gets hurt. It's not the guy that owns the preferred stock. He don't get hurt because he's guaranteed a price when it times out, when it comes to call. So, I mean, this, you're right. This could hurt a lot of people. And I know how you feel about the stock market, Bob. and I don't blame you, but it will hurt, and it affects, it rolls downhill. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, if you take a turd at the top of a very tall hill and let it start rolling, it can turn into a big ball of shit by the time it gets down to the little people, you know, the people who actually carry
right.
this country on their freaking backs day after day after day. Absolutely.
Yeah, even if you don't own a single stock, if it takes a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread, you're screwed.
My grandfather didn't own any stock. He had a sawmill, a post office, and a general store about maybe 5 miles out the road from where I am. And he was doing good. He was extending credit to everybody, and there's a lot more people living out there than there are now. He was extending credit, and the farmers would come in and pay when they sold their crops and whatnot. And he sold cloth and sugar and shotgun shells and whatnot, and people brought their lumber to him for milling, and running a post office was a pretty nice little gig. But he didn't own any stock. But the crash ruined him.
It hurt him.
No, it didn't hurt him. It ruined
him. Wow.
And so he kept extending credit to people who were. Who otherwise would have starved to death. That community out there, there are people alive who would not be alive today who would not have even been born had my grandfather not ruined himself giving them credit that he knew that they could never, ever, ever pay back. And it crushed him. But see, he learned. He knew. He knew that he knew who had done it to him, Steve. And it wasn't godless Democrats, and it wasn't that Catholic Al Smith. It was Republicans. And whatever other faults that man may have had in his life, he never voted for a Republican for the rest of his natural born days. He learned. See, that's the problem. There are a lot of people out there, Steve, who should know better but don't. But they think they're Republicans because they got two nickels to rub together. By God, they're somebody.
They envision themselves being in that top 1% one
day. Yeah,
if they keep working hard and
they can hobnob and rub elbows. I mean, I remember running around rural Wisconsin with my dear friend. Bruce, who is no longer with us, but he'd point out these humongous ass privately owned dairy farms. He'd say, "Yeah, see that sign over there? That's a Republican, Bob, that's running for office. And that dumbass Wisconsin farmer's got a Republican sign in his yard because he thinks he's a Republican too. When he's one bad year away from disaster." When he's sitting there sucking up all the milk subsidies from the government that he can, but he'll go to a meeting and he'll say, "You know what? We need to get government out of business." And of course, they don't talk like that in Wisconsin. But the fact of the matter, he said, "You know, these are people who think they're Republicans, igamfoo Republicans. I got mine, f you."
And that song remains the same all over.
Yes, it does. Let me share an email real quick. Note
sure.
coming in from Ron in Raleigh. "Speaking of the free market," says Ron, "Dolt 45 has threatened to put new tariffs on steel and aluminum. Wasn't the fact that Republicans decided to gut our tariff regime what allowed China and other countries to eat our lunch? Isn't the fact that our average tariff is around 2% while a country like Japan imposes a 20% tariff on American cars? The trade imbalance is because we've embraced the dumbfuck idea of free trade while everyone else has called BS on that. Fat Donnie Two Scoops' idea to solve the trade imbalance is the dumbest thing I've ever heard." Well, pretty much, yeah. And Flavio, meanwhile, says, "The house always wins, unless you're a Trump casino." Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about Trump. We're talking about Republicans, right? We're talking about the Republican Senate and the Republican House. And they know that all they got to do is sit and be quiet, and they've got at least 50-50 odds of everything being okay. All these little rays of sunshine out there. Right? We're gonna have a blue wave. We're gonna have a blue wave, and we're gonna completely take over the Congress. Well, optimism is good, but you have to have a real working sense of what that's gonna take. And I keep saying, maybe I'm wrong, that you're gonna have to have Democratic turnouts north of 70%. In order, maybe more, in some districts, to overturn, to throw some of these Republicans out of office. And running around giving the right-wing bulletin board material, and, you know, football fans know what that is, hockey fans, basketball, whatever, sports fans, giving them bulletin board, yeah, we're going to steamroll them. We're going to, you know what, we're going to have a blue wave, and we're going to go, and we're going to give them a good talking to.
Have you been following Texas early voting?
Yeah, I have.
Well, then you know that the Democrats are turning out.
Yeah, they are. And look, there's reason to think, Sparky, that it's possible, but it's not a foregone conclusion.
It's an uphill battle.
And I still say it's easier to get 20% of the electorate than it is to get 70% of the electorate. I mean, that's just math, because the maggots aren't going anywhere. That's 33, 35, maybe 40% of the electorate. They're not going anywhere. They're going to vote for these goddamn Republicans.
The House, they're juiced in for this gerrymandering debacle. Now, hopefully Pennsylvania will set a precedent. What is your opinion on that? Do you think that's a possibility?
I've got some misgivings about the Lamb campaign, I guess I understand why. I don't even like Nancy Pelosi. I wouldn't cross the street to say hello to Nancy Pelosi. But I'm a Democrat. You know, out there running in West Fraxylvania.
But didn't the judge say that Pennsylvania map was tinkered with, and they need to redo it?
Yeah, sure. But the fact of the matter is, that's what's coming in November. And how well did running away from the Democratic Party serve that one dude there in North Georgia?
I predicted it. And I'm not Karnak the Great. It's just I'm here. I see what's going on.
Right, but that's the whole point, right, Steve? There's 35 to 40%. Look at Alabama. The only reason Doug Jones is in the Senate in large part is because they got massive turnout, and there were 20,000 Republicans who went and voted right in.
The Mickey Mouse or SpongeBob or just right.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're talking about the senator pedophile. I mean, I guess I know, I understand the need to excite the base, but I'm not saying it can't happen, but. You know, before the first pitch has even been thrown, hollering, "Hoo-wee! We're gonna no hit these sons of bitches. We're gonna throw a perfect game. Is what we're gonna do. I ain't even gonna get on base. Oh, we're gonna beat that ass. Oh, yes, we are. That has the potential to make for a very, very ugly morning after the election, Steve." Because I remember.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember November the 9th, 2016.
Yeah, so does my liver.
Okay. Because
it still hasn't forgiven you, right, Steve?
No.
Yeah, because we'd had months and months and months of. Hillary's going to mop the floor with him. Oh, she's got it in the bag.
The Republican Party is ruined. I remember that. They're never going to be the same. They're ruined. The Republican Party, as we know it, they're gone. Fooled us, didn't they?
Didn't fool me. Didn't fool this community.
Mm-mm.
Might have fooled some of the folks who ran away and thought that maybe they could get away with voting for Jill Stein based on their precious little consciences. And now we've got, you know, Trump, but didn't fool us. Hey, I heard Billable Rick there.
Rick, are you there?
Maybe he's unmuting, so I'll take a moment and mention that we are still stuck at $25 to go in the fundraising for the evening. We got $175 to go to finish the evening. And we are we're 40 minutes away from the end of the program. That's a tall order. I'd rather hope that we'd be done with fundraising by 7 o'clock, but so far the only one jumping in was Charlene. And it would sure be great if we could not enter the first weekend of March with a hole to fill on Moran Monday, okay? Those get a little terrifying after a while. But, yeah, we got $175 to go, and hopefully it will be ameliorated somewhat. I didn't hear Rick. Clarity, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, groovy.
I had quite the experience Wednesday going to and from treatment in Portland with a driver that insisted that we listen to right-wing radio, commercial radio, all the way.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, but, you know, I analyzed it in certain ways, and I was in control enough that I didn't talk, you know, because we don't see eye to eye on much of anything. I've ridden with her a couple times, and this is what I see. You know, the economy is FIRE, finance, insurance, and real estate, okay? Two-thirds of the economy is that. And the commercials for all these programs were luxury, gated community. Each unit has its own elevator and a golf course within walking distance and hiking trails and the wilderness. And so this is just across the river from Portland, and it was broadcast from Portland. Anyway, Lars Larson comes on. And he started off with the thing about Rick's Sporting Goods. And I just was watching the words that he used. It was never the left. It was always liberal leftists or radical leftists. And the other adjective string he used was constitutional attackers on the left. That, you know, whenever they talk about limiting the Second Amendment, you know, they're against the Constitution in total, I guess. And then the other term he used was law-abiding, Second Amendment believing, like it was, you know, the Ten Commandments or something. You know, and how do you argue with people that are that way? You know, they're law-abiding and they're Second Amendment believing, you know, that's the only edicts of the NRA, you know, is to law and order and loving your gun. Anyway, there was also ads for Quicken Loans. And if you have over $20,000 in back taxes owed to the IRS, we can help you. You know, misery finance stuff. And then the real estate, and then the other thing was life insurance. We'll take somebody that has, you know, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, is in a coma for only, you know, blah, 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 a month. Up to $1 million, you know, you should, you know, insure your family. So it was all there. Those were the sponsors of the Lars Larson program. So you can see who's controlling the media, really. It's pretty much blatant right out there. And the other thing that I remember from it was they interviewed this guy, and he says, 47% of American households have at least one person that owns a gun. And of those households, this is where it gets tricky, Matt, 60% of the people who are in those gun-owning households feel safer because they have guns in their household. Well, if you do 60% of 47, it comes out to be a little less than 30%.
Well, I have a calculator in my hand, so I can be trusted on this. Let's take 325 million as the population of the United States. So times 46%.
47.
Oh, okay.
Let's give them their statistics to start.
Okay, let's do this again because I'm screwing it up.
Well, that would, if you count each person as a household. See, it's if you had the average number in the household, then you could divide that.
Okay,
into,
so let's call that 81,200,000 households.
Okay.
Times
so four people, yeah.
47%. No, that didn't work. Anyway, okay, let's run it up to 50%. That makes it easier on me. And let's say
you said 81.
Yeah,
so that'd be 40.
Let's call it 41 million households have a gun.
Yeah. No. And 60% of the residents in that household feel safer.
Okay, so 24 million people feel safer because there's a gun in the house. Yeah, you know, when you sent that to me, Clarity, I thought, wait a minute, because see, feel is in the same category as the word believe for me.
Well, that's why I said Second Amendment believing. They believe that's the ultimate truth.
Do you believe? I believe.
St. Winchester.
And the holy house of Smith and Wesson. Amen.
Yes.
But they feel safer.
Yeah.
On the other hand, science and statistics say that, and again, science and statistics aren't in the business of feeling anything. They just know things. Science and statistics, mathematics, says that they're not.
Yeah, well, 70 to 75% don't feel safer because of all the goddamn guns.
That too, you know, because there's always an opposite side to any statistic. You know, I remember years and years and years ago hearing a statistic that 48% of traffic accidents are caused by people who are drunk behind the wheel. Well, that means that 52% of traffic accidents are caused by people who are stone cold and sober. So there's that. But again, it's you know, we run this country on opinion polls. Opinions are not fact-based. Opinions are feelings. I mean, even you know, the question of Trump's job approval rating. How do you feel about how Donald Trump is doing his job? Well, I hate the very molecules of air that the man breathes, so I think he's doing a terrible job. That's my feeling. The question is, can it be backed up with empirical data?
Yeah.
Therein lies the rub.
They also talked about the boycott. They had a liberal arts professor from Michigan, Western Michigan or something. And he talked about how the left is doing a much better job, and the conservatives better just get off your ass at lobbying the corporations, and that the corporations have 50 times as much say in what goes on in the United States, which I was assuming that was the 51 votes they had in the Senate, you know.
Right.
They went down the row of all the people that were joining the gun limit, you know, the NRA thing, the high magazine, well, I don't know, whatever they're saying they will do. They said that, you know, it's the just a few people getting in there and persuading the executives of these corporations that this is the thing to do. And I don't believe in boycotts because I think my listeners are smart enough to know what's right. But yeah, you know, he named off all these corporations, and I was just going, well, this is most of the money in America is behind this new law. So obviously, if we're in a corporatocracy, that's the way it should be. You know, the NRA is, you know, wagging the dog, like you always say.
And see, the whole purpose behind that 47% of households, yada, yada, yada. Well, the fact of the matter is that's a smokescreen to cover for the fact that the NRA has roughly the same membership as the listenership of Flush Flembol. That is to say, not much. 5 million or less. Okay. If you're into having a Gulfstream jet and stuff, that's enough to pay for your jet. But in terms of actually representing the viewpoints of the American people, that's significant. You know, those 5 million Nazis and Klansmen and skinheads and sympathizers, that's enough to sway a 49-51 election. But it's far and away not anything that would resemble a cross-section of American opinion.
The other thing I noticed was that, you know, he spoke as if the conservatives were all on the same page. There was no splintering. There was no political purity tests and all the, you know, the whiplash that we're getting, you know, jumping around about the Democrats. What, you know, what's our platform? You know, what are we going to take a stand on? Where will we plant the super glue to put our spine back together, you know, and get with it? So, you know, they're afraid of the NRA because they are a strong lobbying body. But I think this boycott is keeping that Parkland massacre alive, you know, which is amazing because everybody's, you know, just over. There's just so much. They don't have enough room in the paper to report all the gun deaths every day. And they're not allowed to report deaths by suicide or, I don't know. I guess it's people are knowing about suicide one way or the other. We had a 15-year-old girl here at our high school killed herself a couple weeks ago. Beautiful young girl was on the swim team. The linguistics team was planning a, you know, and she got bullied. And she, well, anyway. So it's, you know, here's a town, 16,000 people, and we can't take care of our young people.
Right. And because
we got our priorities screwed up.
Well, yeah.
But yeah. We are, you know, we're in the middle of, you know, we're not Honduras or Colombia, you know, as far as gun violence, but we got plenty of them. A lot of people dying from guns.
Well, guns.
News don't even make the news anymore.
Well, guns, opioids. You know, we had a big opioids meeting yesterday at the White House. Melanoma stood up and talked, and she said, "We must get handle on opioids crisis. I went out to feed night before last, bit neck of person on fentanyl. I had to be given Narcan to revive me so I could go to bed at sunup." It was all, you know, it was a bunch of talk about, oh, opioids crisis is terrible, terrible. But not money? No. Broaden access to health care and thereby broaden access to addiction treatment? But probably, no, sorry. For that, we'll pray. Oh, and a couple of things. Thanks very kindly to Gary.
Yes.
Gary just jumped in, and we've only got $125 to go now as far as fundraising is concerned in the next 26 minutes. That was huge, Gary. Thank you. Thank you for jumping in alongside Charlene. Now Charlene and Gary need some company. so that they're not just standing there all by themselves for this evening alongside the subscribers. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Charlene. 125 in 25 minutes. Can we do that? It would be awesome if we could. Note coming from Steve in New York. Subject line, the Constitution and the flag. Here's the deal. These people worship the Constitution and flag in and of themselves, not for what the Constitution contains or the flag represents. These items are their golden calves. The irony about the flag is that it represents the right to burn it, tread upon it, and otherwise soil it. The Constitution memorializes the right to hate and criticize it. It absolutely does. And it is an idolatry of sorts. Steve continues and says, money equals speech. Here's why the corporations have more power. Money equals speech. More money equals more speech. And that's the direct outgrowth of Citizens United. Well, I want to check back in. I heard Billable Rick's voice, you know, once, and I know he's got some work going on and stuff. But are you there, Rick?
I am, Bob. How's it going?
It's a great day to be a West Virginian.
Why is that?
Because it's the second day of March, and I'm in West Virginia.
Well, that's good. I love the pictures that you have on Head On Live.
That's entirely Ace's doing, but yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You show the four seasons. I forget that we've only got like kind of two seasons, if you want to call it that. We actually have some rain out here in Southern California today.
Well, like I said, I've got mowable grass right now, so I don't know about that.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Yeah.
No,
wonderful.
Not wonderful. You can't mow where it squishes.
Well,
I've already mowed three times.
Yeah, you're in California, Sparky, not Appalachia.
I just have a bunch of wild plants in my backyard. So
Sparky,
there you go.
You're supposed to start mowing the day after Christmas.
I had to eat some weeds today just so I could park the truck over.
Oh, sure, rub it in. Yeah, I'm jealous. You got to huff you some two cycle exhaust.
Huh. No. I use an electric weed eater.
Sissy.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I've had it for years. It's a Ryobi. It cuts through anything. I do have a gas weed eater, but we can't keep it running.
You must not have a Husqvarna.
No, it's not a Husqvarna. It's a Shindawa. Shindawa.
No, you know what? I learned my lesson on weed eaters. The best thing in the world is to just not use gasoline from the pump. That pre-mixed stuff from the store works infinitely better.
What pre-mixed stuff?
Pre-mixed two-cycle fuel. Instead of buying gas,
we don't have that out here. You got to mix.
Oh, I bet you your Lowe's and your Home Depot has it. Comes in quart cans. It's more expensive, but again. In terms of just being able to pick the thing up and crank it and start it and have it run, can't be beat.
You don't fry out your engine as well, right?
That's the thing. The alcohol in gas pump gasoline is a detriment.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I've been working pretty much since your program started, Bob. I kind of caught bits and pieces of it, but not a heck of a lot of it. It's just kind of been one of those days we're trying to wage battle against another unreasonable taxing authority on behalf of our client, you know?
Oh, it's them tax and spend Democrats again.
Yeah. I mean, the worst people, the worst agency probably in the universe is the sales tax people out here in California. They're trying to collect
tax board.
Well, no, it used to be the State Board of Equalization, but they were corrupt.
Okay.
They were so corrupt they were defenestrated of most of their powers by the state legislature out here in California, and they were reorganized. And the new agency is now called the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, CDTFA. Don't ask me to remember that. I guess I did, but they're still just as bad. They're not any better because they're just a different name, same assholes, you know?
Bingo.
Yeah. So Yeah, I mean, we've proven beyond any doubt that the levy doesn't attach to our client's account. She happened to marry this guy who was assessed liabilities pre-marriage. But if you keep your earnings in a separate bank account over which your spouse doesn't have any withdrawal authority, that is exempt from levy for a premarital debt of the other spouse. So that's one of the lovely things, if you want to call it, that we have out here in California. Creditors can basically attach all of your community property to satisfy a debt incurred by either spouse, either before or during marriage.
And that's so kind of harsh.
It is harsh. It sucks. It sucks. And so this is clearly your prototypical innocent spouse, you know, whose account has been levied on. And they're trying to, like, say, well, you know, this whole thing could go away. We could forget about our investigation as to whether or not this is exempt for levy. If your other client, the husband, just pays the thing in full, it's like, wait a second here. It's like, that's kind of an unfair use of leverage. You know, you're not supposed to use one dispute to leverage, you know, you're not supposed to use a collateral matter to take advantage of the disputed issue. You know, Bob?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's actually, that'll get you disbarred if you're an attorney.
Go back to a metaphor with which we were working the other night, that's dirty pool.
Exactly. And speaking of pool, I sucked the other night.
Did you stink up the joint?
I did. I apologized to my team and they said, don't worry. We all have bad weeks. So my 5-match winning streak is over. So it's time to start a new one on Monday. So, yeah. But you know, what the heck, you know, I ended up getting my ass kicked by this 20-something dude who was like, he was a level 4. I was a level 3. So he needed to get like 31 balls in. I needed to get 26 balls in to win. He beat me like 31-10. Wasn't even close, man.
Oh, Jesus. So. That was rat killing.
Oh, man. I couldn't get a break. Well, literally, I couldn't get the break. Because with 9-ball, I usually get at least 1 or 2 balls in on 9-ball breaks. And I lost the initial lag. And so he got the break. And he hit a ball in pretty much every break. And I had real shitty shots. It took me like maybe 4 racks before I could even get a cut shot in, you know, and just wasn't hitting them right. And, you know, got too far behind him before, you know, it was like sayonara, you know, but that's the way it goes, man, you know. So I played pool last night with my friend Star. We went and had a bite to eat after work and went to this local dive bar in Santa Monica and played pool for a couple hours, did reasonably well, you know, not great, but, you know, respectable, you know, playing like Scottish doubles, you know, are you familiar with that, Bob?
No.
You take turns, you play doubles, okay, let's say you have a partner, so I hit a shot, if I hit one in, then my partner, in this case it was Star, gets to shoot one. If she hits one in, then she hands the cue back to me and I shoot again, and then once one of us misses, then the other team gets a shot at the ball. And then if they hit it in, they give it to their partner who takes the next shot and so on. So that way everybody gets a shot and you don't necessarily have one member of a team run the table against the other team, you know. So it's kind of a nice, you know, kind of a nice way to, you know, and then you can use teamwork to try and set each other up with shots. You know, when you make a shot and hopefully, you know, set up either the solids or stripes, whatever, depending on what you are, for your teammate for the next shot that he or she takes. And, you know, it gets everybody involved. At least 4 people can play instead of just having, like, you know, singles playing, you know, one guy against another, one person against another. So, you know, it just is a more, you know, I guess, I don't know, not really egalitarian way to play, but a more collective, you know, you sort of, you know.
Well, you know, some days you get the bear and some days the bear gets you, you know.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. So how's everybody in the family doing today?
You know, it's been a pretty good rousing conversation.
Good, Rick.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's your pull scenario. We were never that good, so it was never an issue. We always got a turn.
Okay.
I've always been a lot more of a darts. Well, like I said, darts and foosball. Of course, I haven't thrown darts in ages.
I got a dart board in the man cave.
Nice.
Cool. Do you have Donald Trump on the framing the dart board?
No, but I could work. Maybe put something up there.
I think you should.
Ooh, there's another product. A Donald Trump dartboard. I bet that'd sell.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I think it's better than a Trumpy bear.
Trumpy board.
A Trumpy board. There you go.
His nose could be the red dot. It's perfect.
Actually, his mouth would be the center because he's got such a big mouth.
No, he's got that. He's got that cat's ass.
He's got that fish mouth.
No, he's got that cat's ass mouth. And
that's it.
It's a lot bigger than a cat's ass, I must say, Bob.
Well, it depends on the cat now, doesn't it?
I suppose so, yeah.
Got a good note coming in here from Scott and Punky. In terms of my references to feeling and thinking in conversation with clarity, these survey results work along the lines of radio ratings. Properly massaged, you can get them to indicate any damn thing you want to. That said, the deeper issue has to do with the self-delusion under which the 5 million NRA members who are currently living. This has to do with their continued buying in to the flawed notion that actual safety and security are connected with ownership of one or many more shooting arms. True safety and security have little, if anything, to do with being well-armed. On the other hand, they are closely connected to the state of one's soul, in my book, The Mind, Will, and Emotions. To the extent that someone is essentially centered and grounded on that basis, can actual safety and security be measured or truly experienced? Look, again, science and math say that gun in home, more likely to have suicide in home. Gun in home, more likely to have accidental gunfire injury or death in home. Gun in home, more likely to have gun turned on you in a home invasion situation. And the odds of you ever actually using that gun to defend your home approach the statistically irrelevant. By the way, Flavio recommends a cowbell for the use of the word defenestrated. So that's courtesy of Flavio there, Billable Rick.
Oh, well, thank you, Flavio. That's very kind of him.
And another product idea here. Donald Trump diapers, face on the inside. Remember, the children are our future. Well,
Donald Trump dartboards online.
I have another idea for a product, a Trump product. How about Donald Trump fish wrappers?
There's bound to be Donald Trump toilet paper.
There you go. Yeah.
The old guy, John Privado down in Texas, has it when he does his podcast.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
You got two different kinds.
What are the two kinds? What are the two kinds?
One's
thick and thin?
Face and something else, and then when you
face and ass.
You spin it. When you spin the toilet paper roll, it says when it's some Donald Trump saying.
Oh geez, that's funny. That's funny.
Beautiful or believe me or it right, yeah. Hey, good news. Good news. With 12 minutes to go in the program, we have only $25 to go in fundraising. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you very, very kindly indeed, Darlene. That's it, $25 to go. Can we do that in 11 minutes? Who knows? It's kind of hard to say, but I'll hope against hope that we can. So, go ahead, Sparky.
You can get Donald Trump toilet paper on Amazon. A lot of them with his face on it, and one with his face that says ass wipe.
Is it two colors, or is it full color?
No,
or
they're all white rolls with black.
Okay. Because I remember, I'm old enough to remember back when there were all kinds of different pastel shades of toilet paper.
Oh, here,
And then they had to take the colors out because it was bad for your butt. And the rest of you, too.
Here's one that's colored. Let's see. $11.95 on Prime. You can get it by Sunday. For me, anyway.
And Darlene just said, yep, there's Donald Trump toilet paper. My sister has a roll with his face right on it. Somebody out there is making a fortune.
I'm looking for the dartboard on Amazon.
Boy, I tell you what, that would be a subversive thing to do, wouldn't it? In a place like this, sneak around into all the public restrooms and replace all the toilet paper with Donald Trump toilet paper? That would be beautiful. Of course, most of them now have those locked-down toilet paper rolls, so that'd be kind of hard to do, wouldn't it? Oh, there's another Donald Trump doormat, full color. Thanks, Steve. Capitalism.
I'd say that one deserves a cowbell. What the hell, huh?
Well, it really exists, so I guess we're going to have to... Well, we can always fall back on the aquarium pump powered stirrup bong. I haven't found that online yet.
How about Donald Trump cat litter?
That could work.
Although I'm afraid my cats, I'm afraid my cats would start to pee and poop out of the litter box if I had Donald Trump.
Oh, hey, here's one. Marty just, he didn't say this, but it triggered the thought. How about Donald Trump urinal mints? You know, the little mints the little pucks or whatever, and you've got
Perfect.
Sort of. Donald Trump's in face, you know, in bas relief or intaglio or whatever. They're in the brilliant, just brilliant.
Here's a doormat on Amazon. Dump Trump novelty doormat includes Dump Trump bumper sticker. Hilarious gag gift. Send to your friends and family. $14.99.
I wonder how much they've made off of Trumpy Bear.
Oh, and it says, look, I looked at more information. It says a man cave or woman cave decor better because this is matte as rubber. Oh, yeah, it would make a good mat out here.
Oh, I think somebody's going to be ordering one.
I think the lady's called a she shack.
Is that what it is? Live and learn.
I've been watching too much TV, yeah.
Has anybody checked out Counterpart?
Is it a movie or something?
No, it's a series on Amazon.
Oh.
Agnes and I have watched as much of it as there is to watch. There'll be a new episode Sunday. It's good.
I just finished watching Waco this week. That was good.
Counterpart, I wrote that down.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons stars.
And what's the synopsis of it?
That there is a portal underneath a building in Berlin, and that at some point in time, reality split in two, so there's an alternate universe, and the two universes know about each other through this shadowy sort of secret spy organization, and there's some sort of nefarious goings on, and the world is a very different place in the other universe, and everybody and there's a you in the other universe. And you can't get much further into that without spoiling it.
Without spoiling it, yeah.
But there's six episodes of it, It's a little slow at first, but if you like thinky kind of spy kind of espionage sort of, yeah, it's there. It's good.
Well, usually anything worthwhile is slow at first. I thought The Sopranos first episode, I was like, man, this thing's never going to take off. How wrong was I?
Well, that
I wouldn't know. I never watched The Sopranos.
Meanwhile, from Mark, the urban prospector, hey, Bob, how about a genuine Trump douchebag? Oh, now, well. Ooh, with a little Trump-shaped nozzle at the end. There's a possibility. Yeah, it was. Ron and Raleigh was the one who turned me on to Counterparties. He said it was John Le Carre meets Philip K. Dick. And that is about perfect. That's just about a perfect description of it. So maybe we'll have some reviews. And, of course, like I said, what a disappointment. What a humongous, jumping, howling disappointment Altered Carbon is.
I tried it, Bob.
Yeah,
I did.
It was terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't make it past two episodes.
Now, on the other hand, if you get the book, it will grab you and drag you in, and your mind will be all over the place. Because it's like a combination of Philip K. Dick and Raymond Chandler. And the writing's excellent, and the concept. Then again, I'm a weirdo. I still read books.
Well, not to make a shameless plug, but it's available on Audible, so I might go that route.
I don't think you'd be disappointed. It was a long time ago when Reverbo put me onto it, basically because of a particular quote that comes from it. But I had a note from Reverbo the other day, saying, I'm reluctantly dragging myself through Altered Carbon, hoping it will somehow become the adaptation I wish it to be. I'm 14 minutes into episode 4, all caps, and it still sucks! Sigh, caps off. And it doesn't get any better. The author, Richard K. Morgan, was talking about how it's a Maserati, and I think he was just trying to promote the unpromotable. Trying to maybe get a second season out of it or something, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the books whatsoever. I mean, they share a common title. Some of the characters have the same names, but they don't even do the same things. And it's just a hot mess. Marty says, I'll let you know soon. I haven't seen it. Don't bother, Marty. Don't bother. Especially, well, okay, if you haven't read the book, you know, watch it. Maybe you'll enjoy it. But if you've read the books, forget it. Just forget it.
Well, ain't that a kick in the head? Duncan just posted a very interesting link that the Parkland shooter survivors were denied a permit to hold a rally at the D.C. Mall.
Huh. Well, that's a little skeevy.
National Parks Department.
Yeah, that would be the NPS, I guess.
Or it makes you wonder if Big Donnie weighed in on it.
Of course.
Theoretically, he shouldn't be able to do something like that, but...
I was going to, if we're recommending podcasts, I stumbled onto one. It's on CBC... slash On Drugs, and he just talks about different aspects on music one episode, and sports one episode, sex one episode, and just talks about how drugs were used to enhance the experience and the evolution of jazz. I talked about how marijuana became prohibition, and prior to prohibition, when they cleaned up Storyville, it pushed it all over the country. So check that out.
What's the title again?
On Drugs.
Wow. Okay.
And it's on iTunes.
Okay. I'll check that out. That sounds very good indeed. And it's time for us to get out of here. We got very, very close this evening. Thank you again to Gary and Darlene and Charlene for getting us as close as we got. We got $25 to go in fundraising to finish out the week and to be even for the first couple of days of March. Thank you very kindly. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in. I enjoyed the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, as I know everyone else did. Thank you, Clarity, and thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan, and, of course, thank you for your longtime moderating duties to Sparky there in the man cave. Thanks to all of you for joining in and sharing in this ongoing conversation in whatever way you choose. Thanks to everybody who emails and participates in the chat room. Thank you to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room, and thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan for his pinch-hit midweek utility chat room moderating of this week. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. And remember, tune in to Progressive Voices on TuneIn or online here in about an hour. I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy. Later, y'all.